Okay, we are recording. Don't say anything you don't want to preserve. You do not want preserve for it. Posterity. And we're looking at Parshat Bshalach. Everybody knows Parshat Bshalach and Shabbat Shira, Spinning Yam Suf, Shirat Hayam, but the end of it is the war with Amalek. Now, we don't get a lot of details with that. There's just six words about the actual war in the source one. Amalek came. Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Rephidim, and they fought with Israel in Rephidim. That's all we get here. And then we have the story that Hashem, that Yeshua fights the back. But we don't know what happened before then. We had a little bit, the story is a little bit filled out at the mitzvah of Zecher Amalek, which is in Ki Tetzeh, in Sefer Devarim. It says, Zachor asher asah lecha Amalek, remember what Amalek did to you, baderech betzeitchem Mitzrayim, on the way when you were leaving Egypt. Asher korcha baderech, who encountered you along the way, vayezanev b'cha, and who tailed you, kol ha-nechashalim acharecha, all the nechashalim, let's see what that means, were behind you, v'ata ayef b'yageh, and you were tired and exhausted or worn out. Lo yireh Elokim, and you didn't fear God. So he vayezanev b'cha kol ha-nechashalim, he tailed after the nechashalim. The question is, what are nechashalim? And unfortunately, that is a hapax legomenon. We all know what that word means, right?
One
It
time.
occurs one time in Tanakh. So no, the whole root of chashal only appears once in the Hebrew
Wait,
part of Tanakh.
Yuni, the lo yareh Elokim, is that you or Amalek? It
That's a
occurred
good
again.
question. Hold that thought.
Okay.
It is ambiguous,
Yeah.
and it is intentionally so. Okay. Now, the
Okay.
onkelos. So we're going to focus on the Nechashalim, right? Because that was they attacked the Nechashalim. And so Uglis says it was the stragglers, those who came behind. And he was tailing by his Nebuchadnezzar, those who fell behind. And this way Uglis puts it, a lot of the English translations do that. It says, Di'aracha ba'archa, who came upon you on the way, the katel bach, and killed among you, called Ahavi mit'achrin batrach, all of those who were behind you in the back. At Mishali, Velayan, you were tired and exhausted, worn out. So is Macharin, those who straggled. In Aramaic, the word chashal does appear a couple of times in Daniel, and it means to crush. This is Daniel's description of the four kingdoms, the four beasts, and that fourth kingdom, Malchut Rivai, the fourth kingdom, the Havei Takifa Kafarzala, that was strong as iron. Kokavo Defarzala, Mahadik Vachashal, just like iron. Grinds and crushes, call out everything. Kfarzala di merara call and like iron that ruins everything. Ilan tadik v'tara, so too this fourth kingdom will grind everything and destroy everything. So it could mean crushed. Most of the Mefarshim say, well, nechashalim chashal chet shin lamed is a variation of chalash, chet lamed shin, meaning weak. Those who are weak, right? And this is Ibn Ezra. The kin liot milat nechashalim kamo nechalashim, those who were weakened. V'chein keves v'kesev. So there are a lot of words in Hebrew, in biblical Hebrew, that they switch around two different consonants. So keves and kesev both mean sheep. Simla and salma both mean a cloak. Or even this word here, ayef. There's ayef and ya'ef, like in brachot in the morning. Yud Aleph Pei basically means the same thing. There's subtle differences, but the words switch around. So chalash is a variation. So the interesting, the Eben Shoshan Concordance, that big concordancia, that's how you know there's only one word, a version of this in the entire Tanakh, because he writes everything down, defines it. So you got the definitions there and puts it together as weak and stumbling. It says that chashal is similar to chashal with a chaf, to stumble. So
You
nechashalim,
know,
he says,
it's a perfectly common word now in Hebrew,
yeah. What does it
right?
mean
It
in Hebrew?
means to fail, like you fail a test. No?
Lachashel is to fail. I believe you.
No,
Wait,
with the nun. It's with the nun.
nechashalim.
No, Davida?
Well,
Nechashel,
let's
fail.
see.
I don't know. My daughter is so perfect and wonderful. It's never come up.
It never comes up. fail, and it says, why is it taking time? Here,
Fail.
Lehi Kashel was with a, that's with a chaf.
Oh, so
Okay.
that's what they're giving us now, the
They're
what you're up
proposing,
to.
right? So they're he's right. So that he's proposing, it's kind of a from the sound of it, it's a mixture of hayachalash v'choshel. They're
Oh,
weak
so
and
that's the
stumbling,
stumbling
right?
with.
Stumbling, right? Like l'tein michshol. Like think you have l'tein michshol. And Torah means it to stumble, to fall.
Oh,
Okay,
right.
so you know, so I mean, all in context, it all fits, right? These are the ones who are the stragglers, the weak, the beaten, the stumbling, all that fits. You know, the
And
idea
with
of,
the
you know,
word
but as I
vayis
meant, clearly they were tailing after the ayef v'yageya, right? That all goes together.
yeah.
Question then is, where do you see it in our parsha, right? Our parsha doesn't say that. It's simply vayilachem. This is all from later when it's describing what happened in the past. Where do you see they went after the stragglers, the weak, those who were left behind in our parsha? And you don't see it in our parsha directly because our parsha just says, vayilachem b'Rephidim. He there, where there is, it's in Rephidim.
Ah.
What happened in Rephidim? Previous paragraph. Right before, second to last paragraph of the parsha, Vayisu kol da b'nei Yisrael midbar sin. So b'nei Yisrael went traveled from midbar sin, which is not Sinai. Okay, it's wilderness of sin where they had the man. L'masayhem al pi Hashem, on all their journeys according to God. Vayachanu b'Rephidim, and they camp in Rephidim. Ve'en mayim lishtot ha'am, and there's no water. Happens by Yerba Amin Moshe, and everyone argues with Moshe, say, give us water. We don't want to have Moshe, so Moshe's back. Matri Vumimadi, why you argue with me? Matas Tumet Hashem, why are you testing God? And why is this not saving? Well done, people. Okay, there we go. So by Hashem told Moshe, so Hashem tells Moshe, Avor l'fnei ha'am, you go stand in front of the people, go pass in front of them, v'kach itcham mizikne Yisrael, and take the elders, take the leaders of Israel, u'marcha asher kita bo ti'or, and the staff that you smote the river with, kach biyadcha, take pick with in your hand, v'alachta, and you will go. Okay, you're in Rephidim, I want you to go. Where are you going to go? I, God, says, will be standing before you on the rock, B'chorev. What's
Oh,
Chorev?
Sinai.
Sinai, right. So they're going for, right. So Moshe is supposed to go to Sinai, B'kita Batsura, and you're going to whack the rock, B'yatsu Min HaMayim, and water will come out, for Shata'am, and the people will drink. And Moshe did that in front of all the elders of Israel. That's previous paragraph. And then, Vayilachem, Im Yisrael Berfidim happens, and then they leave, right? By Yisum Berfidim, this is next week's parasha. By Yisum Berfidim, they leave Berfidim, by Vo Midbar Sinai, and then they come to Sinai, by Chanu Bamidbar, and they're camping in the wilderness in front of the mountain, by Yichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, and they all camp by the mountain of Horeb Har Sinai. So the people are in Rephidim, they claim about being thirsty. Moshe and the leaders go to Horeb, go to Har Sinai, strike the rock, and so the water starts coming out. So people are all traveling from Rephidim, where there's no water, to Sinai, where there is water. And Amalek attacks it, the people who are still in Rephidim. That's the stragglers. That's the ones left behind. That's the Vayezenev B'cha, the ones who can't move as fast as everybody else. Everyone's kind of moving to where the water is. The last ones there, they're just not moving so fast. And those are the ones who get attacked by Amalek. Vayezenev B'cha kol nechashavim.
Well, someone has to be last. I
That's
mean,
true. But you think that, my point is that that's a terrible thing to leave people behind, right? You're all thirsty. You should actually be careful and like be guarding all those weak people who can't move so fast. What does it mean that there are people left behind as they're traveling? Like, stay in the group, right? There's some are too exhausted to move, so you're gonna leave them there?
wait,
Yes.
who said they were left behind?
They just said
Where?
that they were stragglers. They were the last to go in. But the
Oh.
very fact that they were vulnerable, right? They were weak and beaten and all that,
Oh,
and they
right.
were the implication that they were left is that everybody else has already gotten to Sinai and they're still in Rephidim, which is a very ugly thing to say.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really not nice. So Rashi actually brings another interpretation.
How far is it?
Oh, I don't know. A
I
day,
mean,
I mean, less than a day's journey because Moshe goes there on
and
that day
back.
when Hashem tells them. He doesn't go
Okay.
back, but everyone comes there, so it's not a terribly
Okay.
long distance.
No.
Yeah, I don't have, we don't have any real sense of where these places are. So Rashi says, you know what this Nechashalim means? Kol Nechashalim acharecha, those who were weak, stumbling behind you, as chisrei koach, those who were lacking strength, machmat chet'am, because they were sinners.
Oh.
Right, these are the moments are more long. Shaya anan poltan, because the cloud that was protecting everybody had ejected them. They were palit as a refugee, really. They were refugees from the cloud. The anan is protecting all of Bnei Israel. They're those who left behind. So it was a spiritual weakness that led them to fall behind. And if we connect it to kashel with the chaf, right, with the Was in Tanakh, it almost always is used metaphorically as talking about sin, not talking about literally tripping and falling, right? We have that from Shabbat Shuvah. Shuvah Yisrael, return to your God. He chashalta, you've stumbled in your sin. And even if the Iver is interpreted as a as metaphoric, talking about don't lead other people to sin. And then specifically, Rashi gets that from a number of agadot of Midrashim. One of which is the Targum Yonatan, which I will call the Targum Pseudo Jonathan because I'm showing off how smart I am.
Why pseudo? It was
Ah,
Yonatan.
it was not. That's the point. That the authorized translation for Torah
Oh.
is Onkelos, so it's called Targum Onkelos. The authorized, like the one you use in Shul for Nevi'im, was Targum Yonatan from the Yitani Yonatan ben Uziel. And there was a much later Midrashic Aramaic translation. That basically is not a literal translation. It starts with Moel Midrashim and Agadotot. That was actually written as Targum Yerushalayim, that got printed as a Tuf Yud, that everyone assumed since Nevi'im has a Targum Yonatan,
Oh.
this must be Targum Yonatan. So if you look at it, they all, so in English they always call it Targum Pseudo Jonathan, or they're talking about Targum Yuchas LeYonatan and things like that. That's just showing off to show how smart you are, if you ever want to say.
Oh,
Okay, but
wow.
it is a Targum, but it's a Midrashic one. That's the key thing, much later than the Tannaitic Targumim that we think of being the real translations. But this is the way they put he put Pseudo Jonathan puts it. Okay, that they that Amalek came upon you and attacked the Nechashalim. The Aru Yatchon, the those who came they came upon you, Ba'archa on the way, Bahavakatil Bachon, and he would kill those among you, Kol Dahave Maharher, Lemiste Batar Memre, Hinun Guvraya, Mishivta Devetan. He would kill all those who were thinking, who were following the perversion of the words of those people from the tribe of Dan. The
Done.
Hava Bidehon Pulchana Nuchra'a, that had an Avodah Zara. The Hava Anana Palityaton, and the cloud ejected them. Okay? So he's so Yonatan says specifically, what are these left behind? Those who ones who followed Dan and their Avodah Zara. We're not literally them, but we're maharher, we're thinking about it. They were falling into the same trap that Dan and their Avodah Zarah. So what's Dan's Avodah Zarah? It's not here. It's the end of Sefer Shoftim, story of Pesel Micha, which we should remember. So we look at the story of Pesel Micha, which was what, which it's an appendix to Sefer Shoftim, but it's one of those stories that happened pretty early on. There was a person living in Ephraim, and his name was Micha, also called Micha. We come to the middle of the story. He tells his mother, Elef umeya kesef, that 1,100 shekalim, asher lukachlak, that were stolen from you, but alit, and you were cursing, v'gama mart, was nine, and you said in my hearing, inia kesef. That okay, yeah, Adam nine. You were telling me this. You were cursing whoever stole my 1,100 shekalim. Hinei kesef iti. I have it. I took it from you. Sorry, mommy.
Oh.
Right? Batomer Emo, Baruch Bani Lashem, Baruch Hashem. Well, I'm glad we got it back. All is forgiven. You know, so I don't know if you'd be that generous if your kid stole $1,100 from you, but she was at least willing to, since he admitted it. But you shove it to Elif and make Kesef Limo. So he gives the 1,100 shekelim back to his mother. But Tomar Imo, his mother said, Hakdeshik dachit the Kesef Lashem. I promised this money to Hashem. If I made a shavua that if I get it back, I'm going to give it, dedicate to Hashem, miyadi, from my hands. Livni, or I have done now, Livni, and I'm going to give it to my son. Lasot pesel umasecha. I want you to build an idol. Batashi v'alach. So I'm giving you the money back. You're going to build me a nice idol. Baruch Hashem, you build me an idol.
Hashem,
yes,
some sort.
That becomes the key point.
Oh, right.
Kesef imo, and he gives the money to his mother. Batu kach imo matayim kesef. So she takes 200. Nice thing about shekelim, they're actually made out of silver. So he takes actually 200 of the actual coins. By Nehla Saref, he gives it to the idol maker, the molder. By Yaseo Pesul Masechad, he makes this molten idol. And he beit Michayahu, and Micha has this idol to Hashem in his house. Bish Micha lo beit Elohim, and Micha builds himself with the rest of the money. He builds a whole temple. He builds a beit Elohim. And that's chol, right? This is not what you're supposed to serve Hashem. But yes, ephod, and he makes an ephod, utrafim, and he makes other statues. And he hires one of his sons to be the Kohen at his own personal shrine with his pesel there. That's pesel micha. And the key point, by mimahem ein melch b'Yisrael, ish hayashar b'nav yaseh, everyone did what they felt was right. So that's
so there was no Beit HaMikdash, right?
And well, there's a Mishkan at this time. There is definitely a central bit Mishkan.
Oh, Mishkan. But
right.
Could you have their little Mizbach, Mizbeit?
You could have Bamot. Well, you're not supposed to have Bamot when the Mishkan's there in Bilo, but no one ever listened to it. No one knew anything, but no one ever went to the whole beginning of Sefer Shmuel, that no one ever went to the Mishkan. No one cared about it. So this is a Pesel of Hashem, not of a foreign God. But these are religious Jews. They're saying Baruch Hashem, right? That's what he says, Baruch B'nil Hashem. And they're doing the best they can to fulfill the will of Gavrosh Baruch. They don't have books. They don't know what they're doing. They're not supposed to worship God. How we do it, let's build an idol, right? It's not the same as the Avodah Zarah of Nadav Avihu, who also kind of make their own decisions about it, because they were Gedolim who should know better. These are simple people. They don't know any better. They're out in the middle of nowhere in Ephraim. She's doing her best, okay? So what happens to Dan? Where does Dan get to this? The next parak, Shevet Dan is looking for new territory. They come to this Beit Elohim of Micha, and they say, that's a great idol and a great temple you got here. We're taking it. There's this great story where they come to the door, and the Kohen looks at them, and there are all these armed men out there, and they say, we're not going to hurt you. Just come with us and bring it all there. So they steal the pesel.
Who's the they?
The scouts from the tribe of Dan.
They steal the pesel?
They steal the pesel and they move it north, right? They are living in what's now Tel Dan and around Tel Aviv, but the Canaanim are all there with their chariots. There's no place to live, so they're looking for new territory, so they end up in the Golan, basically. And they decide they need, you know, they need a shul in the Golan, and they find this great idol with a Beit Elohim there, and they take it. And B'nai Dan take this pesel, and the Yotam Begersho Ben Menashe, we talked about that last time, Hubanav, Hayu Kohanim, L'Shevet Hadani, and this Levi here is the Yotam Begersho, actually the son of Moshe, was the Kohanim in this idol of God for Dan, Ad Yom Galut Ha'aretz, until the exile of the land, and this was the destruction of Shiloh, that exile. And so that for 300 years, there is a Beit Elohim in Dan with a pesel there. I assume they have a pesel Micha, and they set up the idol of Micha, Asher Asa, that he had made, Kol Yemei Hiot Beit Elohim B'Shiloh. And it was there as long as there was a Mishkan in Shiloh. There is this other religious place up in Dan.
And that was bad.
That's bad. What is that, right? But at my point, Shevet Dan is this, the way he puts it here is, that they were turning to after the words of these people from Dan, that this is the folk religion, I recall, of Jewish people. This is what the Jews actually did. You know, there's a right thing you're supposed to do, but what they actually did is that they had lots of avodah zarahs. You know, all the archaeologists find all these Israelite gods and all these out there. It was real, right? All the Nevi'im are yelling at them for doing this. So that's what Targum Yonatan is saying. Those are the ones who were ejected from the Ohel, from the Anan rather. Those who had their own way of serving Hashem, right? They had their own. They kept their little idols, and they loved Hashem. Hashem took them out of Egypt. That's great. So we're going to build a little idol here and offer sacrifices to it.
Wait, I'm missing. How do they link Dan with the Nechshalim?
That is the words of Targum Yonatan. He says
what's the link? Where does he just makes it up?
Like? He doesn't explicitly say that, right? He just says Nechashalim, the way Rashi says Nechashalim means those who stumble, those who are weak, those religiously, spiritually. And Nechashalim specifically is passive. They're weakened. They're caused to stumble. It's not their fault. They're doing things wrong.
Because like a few hundred years later, their
it's
descendant.
Similar to what would happen later, is what he's saying.
So Don
it's
is this
thing.
Was
because
okay.
A symbol of what of that kind of thing
okay.
of the that there are there's a folk religion of the Jews. There's the things that they do that are wrong. It's not what Hashem wants, but they mean well, but they don't know any better.
And Don was always this kind of shaved.
Right, that becomes a symbol throughout the Midrashim. Right,
okay.
So you see, you can see that when Avraham chases the four kings, Vayadof Adan, right, he says, because Dan was where he just gets overwhelmed, because in the future they're going to have this Tesal Micha set up in their place.
Oh.
Okay, and so the Midrashim always connect Dan to this kind of error. We've talked about Dan, how they're imperfect, right? And the other side, the kind of your point about, you know, the idea that this is a spirit, the Nechashalim, the Chalash, the Choshel, that's a spiritual weakness. They're the ones who are sinning here. The other point is what you just made, right? When it says, right? Amalek trailed after those who were weak, stragglers behind you, and you were weak and worn out. Below Yarei Elokim, that we read this as as Amalek was not fearing God, but the Mechilta says Achrayim Omrim. There's an opinion Lo Yirei Elokim Elu Yisrael Shelo Hiya Beyaden Mitzvot. Right? They did not fear God. That's why they were out of the Anan. They were doing some kind of sin here. And similarly, the other Mechilta says Dorshei Rishumot, those are people who like to take drushes. Drashim say Rifidim when they come in. Rifidim, it's named that means Rafin Yadayim. Their hands were weak. The Fisha Rifu Yadayim Shal Yisrael, Israel's hands were weak. Min HaTorah, they didn't hold on to the Torah. The Fichach Baalein Soneh, that's why the enemy came. And Soneh Baalachet Baalavera, by these textual hints that they're doing something wrong.
What the Torah? They didn't have the Torah.
Okay.
They
had mitzvot, then they had to serve Hashem, and
right.
Hashem gave them all the rules.
Right.
And some lochoku mishpat v'sham nisahu that embara. They already had some of the rules already, right? They didn't
so
have.
We don't
all
know.
Season.
We don't know exactly what they did wrong.
Right, but the implication of all of this is that they were weak. That it wasn't so much they were rishaim, but they didn't know better. I think that's the metaphor with Don here.
Okay.
Because I think that's a very powerful thing that Zohar Atkins, I mentioned him before, right? He's an amazing guy. He has a doctorate in philosophy from Oxford. He's got smicha from JTS. He's still really smart. And he has a shiur every week, and he always goes for a home run. Sometimes he strikes out, right? But he's good. So this is actually last week's. And it says, you know, and the title is Peoplehood Rejoinder to Amalek. So Amalek's attack presents a challenge to the Jewish people to which we must respond. Okay? Will you carry on without the stragglers, sacrificing them to Molech? Will you insist on the that the integrity of the covenant requires not just the front ranks, but the back ranks too? Do you go back and save those people who are roughly Yadehem in a Torah and they're Mahar after this sin of Dan and they're Lo Yareh Elokim? Do you go back and save them? The litmus test of the people is not how much Torah its elites study or observe, but how committed it is, people are, to the Jewish life of the median Jew, and even the proverbial bottom quartile Jew. Person modest intellect and as connected to the Seder, right? The simple Tam, or simply low literacy and opportunity, in the Elisho, are not required to be great scholars. It's enough to sit at the table and take in what they can. The rest of us, right? If you're reading this, then obviously you're top of one of the 10%, well, one of the 1%, right? In terms of Jewish knowledge and ability, right? We have to be chachamim, and to do so, not by leaving the company of the wicked, right? The Russia, the Tom, and the individual, but by sitting with them. That very much, right? Moshe has to go back and make sure we save those who have fallen out of the Anan. That's what it means to be B'nai Israel. You don't leave them behind.
That's nice.
And he connects it. So Rabbi Shulman said that in the Drusha last week, when Moshe tells Paro, we're going out, and we're all going out. Right? This is at the right after Arba, at least, right? Paro's still saying, no, I'm not letting him go. But Yushav and Moshe et Aron el Paro, and Moshe and Aron brought back to Paro. Okay, fine, you guys go serve God. Miva mihelchim, who's going to go? Moshe says, we're going to go with our children, our elders, all of our kids, our sons and daughters, all of our sheep, our cattle, nelech, yichag Hashem lan. And then Paro says back, he can't Hashem lan. Yeah, right, like God really got to be with you. If I'm going to send you and all your children, look, your evil is in front of you. You're not really going to serve God. You're trying to run away. Lo kain, that's not going to happen. L'chuad not to give a rim. Let the adults go. We do it Hashem, and they can serve God. We do Hashem otah atem vakshim. That's what you're asking for. You want to serve God. You don't need your kids. You don't need everybody there. Like Garish otame p'nei Paro, and Paro kicks them out. The way Hirsch puts it is that binarenu zekeinenu ne'lech. We have no intermediate, no priest, no representative before God. We are to go. We must all go. Hence, being the cradle, the last sheep in possession. None and nothing may remain.
And don't we have like the Arab realm? Like, don't we? I thought we learned like only like 20% of the Jewish people left me. Sorry.
Okay, so those are two different things. The Arab realm is a separate issue. We don't know where they are in here. The fact is,
20%... isn't it talking about like spiritually weak? Isn't that what we said? Like,
yeah. So that's the point about Choshech and the idea that only 20% left. What would we tell the Rosh? The Rosh is still at our table, and he's mocking all the Mavdal Lachem. What we tell him
is, if you were there, you wouldn't have come out.
Why? The Fisha Hotzi Otomina Klal Kafar Beikar. That's key. The Ikar principle that he denies that would have kept him from coming out. Was Hotzi Min HaKlal. It's not belief in Hashem. It's not ritual. It's being part of the people. As long as he's not Yotzi Min HaKlal, he still would have gone out. The ones who didn't leave were the ones who were Yotzi Min HaKlal. That's always the question.
And, they're Nechashalim? Or that's something else?
No, the ones who were for Be'ikar, who are Yotzi Min HaKlal, didn't leave Egypt at all. Yeah. These ones left Egypt. They're still part of the Jewish people. They consider themselves part of the Jewish people, right? This is.
I guess that's like that.
Baruch Hashem with both titles. Okay, and that's why Datan Aviram leave Egypt, even though we said the Rishayim all stayed. What about Datan Aviram? Datan Aviram was still part of the Klal. They cared about Bnei Israel. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. Okay, the very act of being part of the Klal means you have to go back. Okay, that's what Chag L'Hashem Hirsch says. It's a circle around it. Everyone's there. And if you look at the story, when it says that, Amalek comes, and then Hashem doesn't get involved. This is a test for Moshe. Is he going to send the army back to save these people? Right? Yomer Moshe El Yeshua Bachalan Hashem, you're going to need to pick people. Yitzel Achim Alamek, Amalek. Machar Anochi Yitzel Rosh Gevav, Matel Kim Yadi. I will stand on the rock over here, Korev, with the staff in my hand. Yas Yeshua Kasher Amar Moshe El Yachim Bamalek. And then Yeshua fights them. So not till the end, afterwards. Yomer Hashem Moshe, Tov Zikaron Basefer. You need to write this down, Hashem. Hashem doesn't tell him to fight. I think this is a test for Moshe. Is he going to include everybody? And the answer is yes, you have to. You have to include everybody because otherwise none of us are B'nai Yisrael and none of us get the Torah. Because what happens at the end, in next week's parasha, when Vayisum Refidim, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, that they camp there in the singular, you know, Ki'ish Echad B'lev Echad. They have to all be together. So Atkins concludes, right? Let my people go should be heard with an emphasis not on go, but on people. We rise and fall as a people. And all of us are obligated to experience the Exodus. And that's the lesson of Nechash Aleihem. You don't leave them behind. Those who are wrong, Russia has a seat at the table, the Tam has a seat at the table, the Yodelisha has a seat at the table.
You know, it works. Even if you translate Nechash Aleihem, not spiritually bad, but the weak.
Okay, but I think then the idea of not going back and saving them is just morally much worse.
Right.
The idea that they exist. So this is something where at least there's a Hava meaning. You might have thought that we're going to Har Sinai, those who don't keep the religion just so should not be part of that. You might have thought that.
Oh, I see.
The lesson is that is an incorrect statement, right? And if you do that, then you're not Ki'ish Echad B'lev Echad, and nobody gets the Torah.
But you have to distinguish, like Yedida was Davida was saying, between the Erev Rav and the Nechash Aleihem.
Right. We don't know where the Erev Rav is in all of this. I don't know. Nechash Aleihem presumably is the part of the people.
So who's the Nechash Aleihem today, for example?
Everyone who isn't us three, right? We are the 1%, right? We know everything, we do everything right. All those people are out there who we will acknowledge they mean well, but are doing things wrong. And there's a lot of them out there.
So we'll say the Chilonim in Israel.
I could go either. And also the Far Haredim, you know, everyone to the left of me right. is an atheist, everyone to the right, right. is crazy. You know, so I mean, I think all of us look at a lot of everybody else as Nechash Aleihem. If we get attacked, we gotta get the Chag L'Hashem, the Chug, the circle. We're all together in this.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Has some echoes for today.
And I never mentioned contemporary politics, but feel free to read them into what I just said.
Yeah, I was just saying it has echoes that you could.
Right.
Think about. Don't leave the hostages behind.
Don't leave anyone behind, right? Those are the literal Nechash Aleihem and the we can beat. Yes. Okay, I'm gonna stop here.
Ooh, thank you. Who's this Zohar Atkins?
He gives a shit. Yeah, Zohar Atkins is brilliant. He got some award for like top 30 Jews under 30. I don't think he's under 30 anymore. He's part of this group of really smart people that always talk to each other on podcasts. So Joey Rosenblum used to be in St. Louis, and David Beshevkin, who's the director of education for NCSY. So he has a weekly Parsha shiur he sends out.
Oh, I just got the woman you gave me. She did a Ramban.
Oh, the Tamar Marvin, yes.
Yeah. So him, he is. It's like he speaks it, or it's a written.
No, it's written. It's written here. So here is it. You know, this is there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And thank you. This was good.
This was good. Let's see something about him. He is a rabbi, thinker, poet, founder of Etz Hadaat, podcast, Meditation with Zohar, chief culture officer at Invisible Technology.
Is he in Israel or U.S.?
Where is he? That's a good question. Let's find him.
Probably not here. I don't think he's here.